You see, they're coming for Dr. Seuss, Trevor Noah said. What? Okay, what? We're going to just cancel Dr. Seuss books just because they're racist? Then what are the racist kids going to read? You didn't think of that, did you, Colbert? I can understand why they're pulling a small number of his books. If I Ran the Zoo shows racist depictions of Asian characters saying they're from countries no one can spell. So China is too difficult to spell, but Sala Salu is spelled like it sounds. Trevor, the real problem with Dr. Seuss is that all his made up words sound like they could be racial slurs. This is a great joke. I rarely telegraph how great a joke is before I read it, but this one's great. Trevor, I mean, a Zelf on the shelf, the nubbards in the cupboards. I don't know what that means, but if a white person called me a nubbard, we're throwing down. Trevor, there may be room for compromise here. Like, maybe instead of getting rid of the books completely, they can just update the imagery. For example, take away that offensive drawing of the two African men and put in a Tucker Carlson thought bubble. That way we all understand, ah, this is racist. Great. Trevor, just great job. Kimmel, not only are they pulling some of the books out of print, they're also tweaking some of the books that are in print to make them more inclusive. For example, now we have The Cat in the Problematic Headdress, How the Grinch Appropriated Native American Culture, Hop on Pop with His Consent, Horton Hears a They, Horton Hears a Misogynist Joke and Reports it to HR. These are really fun. I should just clean this up, but you hear me laughing through these jokes. Let me run through that again. These are so good. The Cat in the Problematic Headdress. How the Grinch Appropriated Native American Culture. Hop on Pop with His Consent. Horton Hears a They. Horton Hears a Misogynist Joke and Reports it to HR. There's a Wocket in My Ethically Sourced Sustainable Pocket. No Eggs or Ham. That's a vegan book. And Yertle, the Gender Fluid Turtle, and other stories. Great job, Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert, there hadn't been an earth-shattering outcry, but they recognize the impact that these images might have on readers, especially kids, and they're trying to fix it because Dr. Seuss' book should be fun for all people. Black, white, straight, gay, sneeches, both star-bellied and plain, Loraxes, Barbalutes, all the Who's Down in Whoville, and the strange, angry creature named Fufu the Snoo. Colbert, it's especially important to be responsive like this because Dr. Seuss also has so many books that are lovely and teach vital lessons that resonate to this day. Horton Hears a Who is about listening to underrepresented voices. The Butter Battle Book teaches tolerance. The Lorax teaches environmental ethics. And Hop on Pop warns against the dangers of pop hopping. The next thing that pops might be his aorta. Donny Zoldan in the news again. He's been in the news so much, you now know who Donny Zoldan is. He's the owner of Stand Up New York. Gets to reopen his club April 2nd. He wants Jerry Seinfeld to come to the city. Donny says, I would throw that offer to Jerry to maybe come to the city and perform at one of our shows just to see what other comics are going through in the city. Donny Zoldan noted that he, Donny Zoldan, had been in New York City since the summer, and he doesn't think, quote, that it's cool that Seinfeld has been far away from the city, not really on the ground supporting comedy, and it's an unfortunate situation. Fox News with the dig. The comedian, Jerry Seinfeld, was seen in East Hampton in September arriving at his $32 million house in a vintage Porsche a week after calling a comedian who fled New York City for Florida a putz, saying he would never abandon New York City. A spokesperson for Jerry Seinfeld did not immediately respond to Fox News' request for a comment. I love this whole fight. Backing up, remember, James Altucher, who's one of the partners in Stand Up New York, had written an op-ed in the New York Times basically saying New York City was dead. Jerry Seinfeld felt the need to respond, saying, the true greatness that is New York City is beyond rare. It's unknown. Unknown to any place outside of New York City. This stupid virus will give up eventually, the same way you have. Wow, a dig at James Altucher. We're going to keep going with New York City if that's all right with you. And it will sure as hell be back because of the real tough New Yorkers, unlike you, loved it and understood it, stayed and rebuilt it. Except when they spent their life in the Hamptons, Jerry Seinfeld. I have nothing against that guy. He's fine. I didn't realize that nobody was rebutting it. Then I realized, oh, I guess that's my job. Somebody, a real New Yorker, has to answer this from the Hamptons. The New York Times asked Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall if they have any plans for another collaboration. Arsenio said, I think it's back to the comedy clubs for me, Eddie. The plan was for all of us to be doing stand-up. When I got off the couch and did this little patch of work, it was like, let's do Dolomite, let's do SNL, let's do Coming to America, because I want to go do stand-up again, but I don't want to just pop out there when people hadn't seen me being really funny in a while. I didn't want to do stand-up after the last movie you saw me do was Meet Dave. Let me remind them that I'm funny. And then the pandemic hit and we had to pull everything back. But when the pandemic is over and it's safe to be around people, I'm going to do stand-up again. There's so many comics in Coming to America. I'd love to do a tour with all the comedians. Me, Arsenio, Leslie Jones, Tracy Morgan, Trevor Noah, Jermaine Fowler, Louis Anderson, Michael Blackson. All right, let's jump in there. For decades now, because I've been involved with comedy when I ran SiriusXM, so I've been around this for a while, and I've been saying for decades now, Eddie Murphy doing stand-up is like the Beatles reuniting. But the problem with the Beatles reuniting and Eddie Murphy doing stand-up is it's been built up so big in your mind that I don't know if Eddie could possibly approach the fantasy of how awesome he will need to be in my mind. It's like when you sit down and watch Chappelle and you're like, oh, this is going to be amazing. And like Chappelle comes in at really, really good, but just shy of amazing. And you're kind of like, ah, oh, I wanted that to be a little better. The bar is so high on Eddie Murphy. However, this recent run of work, Dolomite, SNL, Coming to America, I think Eddie could do it. I would love to see Eddie Murphy get back to stand-up. Times asked if it's hard for Eddie and Arsenio to hang out in public. If people see them together, do they start quoting Coming to America? Eddie said, we haven't been out in a year because the bottom fell out of the world, but when the world gets back to normal, I don't have a problem going anywhere. When I was young, I used to have bodyguards, and one day it was like, hey, wait a second, I don't need all these bodyguards, and I haven't had them since. I don't restrict my movements or not go to places. When you go somewhere, you just say, what's up, take a picture, and keep going. Arsenio says, I can't wait for those times to get back. The only problem with Starbucks is Eddie's a big tipper. When I go back alone, they're always like, ah. And they're looking to see if Eddie Murphy is there. Because I leave $5, Eddie leaves them a Rolls Royce tire. Tim Allen was on Mark Maron's podcast. He said, I was an F-up. After my old man died, I really just played games with people and told adults what they wanted to hear and then stole their booze. I was like Eddie Haskell. Yes, Mrs. Cleaver. No, Mrs. Cleaver. I knew exactly what adults wanted. Make your bed, be polite, use a napkin, and then I'd go steal everything in the house. You may not know, Allen was arrested in 1978 with more than a pound of cocaine in his luggage. He served a little more than 2 years behind bars. He was 23. He has now been sober for 23 years. He talked about his time in prison saying, I just shut up, did what I was told. It was the first time I ever did what I was told and played the game. I learned literally how to live day by day, and I learned how to shut up. You definitely want to learn how to shut up. He does get political occasionally on Twitter, and he said, I literally don't preach anything. What I've done is not join into, as I call it, the we culture. I'm not telling anybody else how to live. I don't like that. We should do this. We should do that. Once I realized that the last president ticked people off, I kind of liked it, so it was fun to not just say anything. Didn't join the lynching crowd. From Variety, Alec Mappa is joining this Alec Baldwin and Kelsey Grammer sitcom. But hold on, Kelsey Grammer. Didn't you just agree to return to Frasier? And of all the Frasier cast, you're the only one in Frasier? So you've got two shows going at once? I guess so. The untitled Alec Baldwin, Kelsey Grammer, Alec Mappa series revolves around three men who were roommates in their 20s until their warring egos drove them apart. Now the trio are reuniting decades later for one more run at the lives they've always wanted. Mappa will star as Andre. He's the third roommate from the old days. He's a gay man with a highly empathetic nature. He's often called upon to keep the peace between Channing, played by Alec Baldwin, and London, played by Kelsey Grammer, while also attempting to find a romantic and professional success that have so far eluded him. Meanwhile, CBS is making a sitcom about the life of professional bowler Tom Smallwood. This multi-camera comedy revolves around a seemingly ordinary man who, after being laid off from the assembly line at a GM factory, makes the extraordinary decision to provide for his family by following his dream of becoming a pro bowler. Back in 2010, Tom Smallwood, professional bowler, told Sports Illustrated, if you had given me a piece of paper on December 23rd, 2008 and asked me to write a story of myself, what I'd want to do in the next year, I would have never written it this good. Tour trials, maybe make a TV show, stay in the top 15 or 20 on the pro tour, not this. Well, now you've got a TV show, but so does Sarah Cooper. The Hollywood Reporter wrote about the Groundlings, and they said, the first COVID shutdown was nerve-wracking, to say the least. We had to cancel dozens of classes and figure out refunds and credits and things. We figured teaching improv on Zoom would be a disaster, but we were pleasantly surprised. They could be quite delightful. Students had glowing reviews for their annual Groundlings holiday show. The theater pulled out all the stops, putting on a live Zoom-based performance featuring 120 video cues and 40 audio cues on top of the ridiculous wigs and costume changes fans have come to expect. I should share with you, if you're not hip to the Groundlings, they are an L.A. improv group. A lot of famous people came out of there, Will Ferrell being one of them. So you've got, you know, UCB and Second City and Groundlings coming out of L.A. Now, their theater in Melrose seats 99, but the Zoom show had as many as 200 paying households per performance. The director of the holiday show says the audience lives in the chat room. People will literally type LOL That is your comedy news for today. If you like what I do, buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows. Catch you tomorrow.